How many of us want to make a difference? How many of us, seriously, when all of this has passed us by and our lives are gone, how many of us really want our lives to have accomplished something that's meaningful? Now, let me ask you the same question, but let me be much more direct with it. If you died today, what would your children remember you for? What would your spouse remember you for? If you died today, tomorrow, what would the conversation be among your coworkers? Among your neighbors at home? What would the conversation be even this morning among your brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you be remembered for someone who is hard to get along with? Would you be remembered as someone who was an encouragement? Well, I'll tell you this about him or her. When you had a conversation with them, you just felt better all over. Would you be remembered as someone who was a gossip? Would you be remembered as someone who is faithful to the kingdom? I'm asking you this morning that if you died today, what is it that could be, no, what is it that would be said about you? Now, I said all of that to make this one statement. Every one of us are going to be remembered for one of two things. We are either going to be remembered for the difference that we make, or we're going to be remembered for the difference that we failed to make. Now, here's what I'm saying. All of us are headed to one of these. We're either going to be remembered for the difference that we made, or we're going to be remembered for the difference that we failed to make. Now, I want to show you that so that you really believe what I have said. I want you to see this in action. So I'm going to put feet and legs and hands in this, and you can just see it. Let me ask you now, turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And I want to read a very familiar passage that Jesus spoke. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you can't find it, say, I'm almost there. Luke 10, verse 30. A man
was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now let's pause right there. The road going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, in total, it was about 20 miles. But it was very winding and very narrow. That stretch of road was called by those in the ancient world the Red Road or the Blood Road. And many people on that very road who chose to travel alone were beaten and robbed and left for dead. So when Jesus makes this statement, everybody there listening said to themselves, yep, we know all about that. Verse 31. Now by chance, this is just happenstance. Chance. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, that is the man beaten and left, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35. The next day, he took out 2 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. So he took out 2 days' wages. He took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay it when I come back. You and I are going to be remembered for something just like these 3 men. We're going to be remembered for the difference that we made or the difference we failed to make. For 2,000 years, the priest and the Levite could have been and should have been remembered for the difference that they made. But for 2,000 years, they have been remembered by the difference that they failed to make. For 2,000 years, this Samaritan has been known by the difference that he made that day on that road. And what a difference he made. Look, 2,000 years later, there's still Good Samaritan Hospital. There's still Good Samaritan Clinic. There is still Good Samaritan Academy, all named after this individual who made a difference. Listen, we are all going to do one of two things. And just exactly like the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, all of us are going to be remembered for something. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look into that passage. And I want to share with you from this passage
three things that it says about making a difference. Making a difference. That passage that I just read tells us three things about doing this. Number one, let me say to you that you can make a difference wherever you are. Wherever you are. The Samaritan was on that road. By chance, he came upon this fellow. He's standing there, he's on the road, the guy is laying there, and so right where he was, he made a difference. You can make a difference right where you are. I'm saying that right here, right now, today, you can begin to make a difference. Look, you don't have to be rich to make a difference. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to leave the country. And you don't have to take a cram course of training on making a difference. Listen, I don't care where you've been. I don't care how many times you fail. You can pick up and make a difference and start today. Noah made a difference right where he was. Now, if I ask you, what was the difference? Here's what you tell me. You'd say, well, God instructed Noah to build an ark, and God said, here are the dimensions of it, and here is the specific material you are to use, and Noah followed his instructions, and Noah did exactly what God did, told him to do, and he built that ark. And every word of that is true, but that is not the difference I'm talking about with Noah. The difference that Noah made is that Noah saved himself. The difference I'm talking about is that Noah saved his family from this destruction. Ma? Dad? Grandma? Grandfather, you can make a difference right where you are, and the greatest place in the world you can start making that difference is right there at home. And if the only difference you ever make in your life is the difference you made at home, you got it right. You can make a difference right where you are. Think about Daniel. Daniel made a difference under tremendous odds. Do you know what happened to Daniel? When Daniel was a young man, probably a teenager, Daniel was taken out of his home, taken out of his country, and Daniel was carried off hundreds of miles into Babylonian captivity to live in a heathen culture. And when Daniel got there, chapter 1 and verse 8, Daniel said, I will not defile myself in this heathen culture. So right from the get-go, everybody knew where Daniel stood. He took a stand. Are you willing to take a stand for God? Are you willing to take a stand at home under odds that aren't great? Are you willing to take a stand in the office? Are you willing to take a stand at school? Are you willing to take a stand in the factory? Daniel made a difference under tremendous odds, and Daniel became a pet, as it were, for the king who relied on Daniel. But he made a stand. Think about Barnabas. Are you listening? No, I mean, are you listening and taking it in? Think about Barnabas. Barnabas made a difference right where he was in the early church. His name wasn't even Barnabas. His name was Joseph. But the apostles looked at him, meaning his actions, and the apostles said, look, we can't call this guy Joseph. Joseph doesn't fit him. We're going to call him Barnabas because Barnabas means the son of encouragement. Barnabas encouraged the church right where he was in the city of Jerusalem. And then when the church spread out and the Gentiles were then brought in, the apostles sent Barnabas from Jerusalem to Antioch of Syria among the Gentiles to encourage them. And Acts 11 says that when Barnabas got there, that he encouraged all of them. Listen, do you understand? You can make a difference in somebody's day by just encouraging them. You can make somebody's day with two statements to them. You can make a difference right where you are. Listen. Bloom where you plant it. Bloom where you plant it. But you know what we do? We are forever talking about, well, if I was somebody else, and if I had what so-and-so has, and if I was here, oh, what we would do with what we don't have. Amen. Oh, if I had $1 million. You walk out of here and not ever come back. Listen, we're not somebody else. We don't have anything else. And we are who we are. We are where we are. We have what we have. But whoever you are and wherever you are and whatever you have, that's enough to make a difference in this world. Oh, I tell you, if I had the money, Brother Fox. Listen. Tell me what you're doing with your pennies. I'll tell you what you do if you had your dollars. Yes, Lord. You can make a difference right where you are. Number two. And this is the question that we always ask. Well, we want to know why. Why? Why would anybody bother to make a difference? Why would anybody want to become a difference maker? I'm going to give you two reasons why you need to be a difference maker. Oh, I could never, listen, get over that. Yes, you can. You can make a difference somewhere to somebody. But why should anybody want to do that? Here are two reasons why you need to dedicate yourself to being a difference maker. Number one, the world demands it. The world depends on this. Listen to me. Listen. You understand this better than most. and that woman sitting there next to you will do. What would become of the robbed, the beaten, and the half-dead men and women and children in our world if it were not for Good Samaritans? The world can't survive without Good Samaritans. And here's the thing. You and I don't have to look any further than outside of ourselves to know that's true. Whoever you are, however far we've come from where we started, whatever we've accomplished, whatever we've done, whatever good it is, and however high we have gotten ourselves, the reason we did it is that all of us have somebody in their past who made a difference to us. We are who we are because of what these people did. They made a difference in our lives. Look, that difference maker may have been a parent. That difference maker may have been a teacher. That difference maker may have been a friend. That difference maker may have been a neighbor. That difference maker may have been a Christian. But there was somebody who helped you. When I became grown, my sister had a very adult conversation with me. She was 24 years my senior, and I remember exactly where her and I were standing when we had this conversation, and every word of it just rung in my head. And to this minute, I know every syllable she spoke. For the last 7 years of my mother's life, she suffered. Stroke, heart, stroke, heart, stroke, heart. And she fought every day for the last 7 years of her life. And my sister told me, listen, you know why mama didn't quit. You know why mama never stopped. You know why mama struggled, because mama told me over and over again, I gotta stay around long enough to get him grown. And bless God, here he stands. Listen, that's me. That's my story. You got your story too. Listen, are you ready to repay your debt? Huh? Are you ready to repay your debt? Are you now ready to make a difference to the people whom God puts in front of you? How dare we take and not give back to this? Why should you be a difference maker? Because the world couldn't survive without it. Couldn't survive without it. The second reason you need to be a difference maker is that God expects it from us. God expects this from us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, therefore, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. We're about doing good. Now watch the verse that I'll connect. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Listen, as you and I go about doing good, as we're doing good, what we're doing is glorifying God. Amen. That's why you need to be a difference maker. Listen.
Every one of us is going to be remembered for one of two things. I'm telling you. Just think about anybody you know and something will come to mind. We're going to be remembered for the difference we make. Or we're going to be remembered for the difference that we failed to make. Every one of us can make a difference right where we are. And the reason that we need to do it is because the world absolutely depends on it, and God absolutely expects it from us.
Number three, now hold on. Everybody take a deep breath. Collect yourself and now focus up here for a minute. Number three, this is the soul of the sermon. This is where we're going. From the first word, I was going right here. Number three, take a look at it. What kind of people does God use to become difference makers? Now, the only way that you can answer that question, is that you have to read this. So, Genesis to Malachi, 39 books. Matthew to Revelation, 27 books, 66 in all. When you read this, and when you read it, asking yourself the question, what kind of people did God use to be difference makers in the world? From this, here's what you end up with. The people that God used were ordinary people. They were people who had feelings, just like you and I have feelings. They were people who had fears, just like you and I have fears. And they were people who experienced pain, just like you and I experience pain. That's who he used. Now listen carefully. I want us now to look at the problems that the people had that God used to make a difference. I'm not saying let's look at the problems that God used people to help fix their problem. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's look at the people that God used to make a difference and let's look at their problems. You got it? Here's their problems. Number one, many of them felt they were totally unqualified to do what God wanted them to do. These are the people he used. Moses, in Exodus 3, are you listening? Yes. Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock. And Moses looks out and Moses sees this bush on fire. But the bush isn't being consumed. It's just burning, but it ain't burning up. Well, Moses was sharp. Moses, that ain't normal. So Moses approaches this, and from that bush, God speaks to him. Are you listening? God says to Moses, Moses, my people down in Egypt, they're suffering. Moses thinking, yeah, they suffering, Lord. And God said, Moses, they're in affliction. Moses, yeah, Lord, they're in affliction. And Moses, they've been down there a long time. Yeah, Lord, they've been down there too long. And Moses, I need to go down there and get them out. Yeah, Lord, you need to go. And God said, Moses, you're who I'm sending.
Do you know the first word out of Moses' mouth? The first word out of Moses' mouth was this: who am I that I should go down there and talk to Pharaoh? He felt he was totally unqualified for the job. And then he comes up with this laundry list about why he shouldn't go. But Lord, you can't send me because Lord, I don't talk good.
And God said, Moses, you going. You going. And Moses said, well Lord, now I can't talk good, and now I'm having trouble hearing, Lord. He felt totally unqualified for the job. Listen, David was a great difference maker. Amen? He was. Look, David was a giant killer, and David was a warrior, and David was a poet, and David was a king, and David was the man after God's own heart. But that's not how he started.
When Saul was removed as king, Samuel the prophet went to David's house and dealt with his father Jesse. I'm here to anoint a king. And Jesse trots out all of his sons, all of them except David. And Samuel said, ain't none of these getting it.
Listen, David was so unqualified that his father Jesse just totally overlooked him that he could be the one. But he was the one. He was the one. Here's the ultimate, the apostles. A tax collector, a zealot, a handful of fishermen. Never were a group of people so unqualified for a job as this crew was. But that was the crew that God used. Who does God use to be a difference maker? He uses ordinary people who many at first will think, well, I'm not qualified for this. Who are the people that God uses to make a difference? Number two, many of them were not expected to make a difference. Now you listen to this very clearly. The people whom God uses to make a difference many times are not the people who are supposed to do it. You say, can you prove that? Yeah, I can prove that. The priest and the Levite were supposed to make the difference. That's who was supposed to step up. You have a priest, you have a Levite, and you have a Samaritan. And nobody on the face of the earth would think of those three, the Samaritan would be the difference maker. The Jews had no dealing with the Samaritan. The Jews despised the Samaritans. The Jews thought that the Samaritans' only purpose was God will use them as firewood for hell. But the one
who wasn't supposed to make the difference was exactly the one who made the difference.
Who are the people that God uses to make a difference? One more. God used many people to make a difference who really got off on the wrong foot with it. I mean, they just really messed it up. Remember this guy? Remember Jonah? God told Jonah, "You going to Nineveh." Jonah said, "I ain't going to Nineveh either." And it's not, Jonah went to Tarshish. Now listen to me. It's not like Nineveh was this way, and so Jonah just made a little turn to go to Tarshish. No, Nineveh's this way, and Tarshish is this way, and Jonah ran as fast as he could that way. Jonah got on the boat, the ship, and a storm broke out. And them guys on the ship said, "Hey, somebody caused this. We think you caused this." And they throw Jonah off that ship. And that great fish swallowed Jonah. And took Jonah and puked him up on shore. Even a great fish can't stomach a backslider. You welcome. You welcome. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says when that fish puked him up, that it was 3 days' journey to Nineveh. Do you know what the Bible says then? Jonah went to Nineveh in 1 day. You say, how do you explain that? That's easy. Jonah thought that fish was still looking for him. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. That fish puked him up. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." God gave Jonah another chance. I don't know about any time, anybody else. This me. But sometimes what I need in life more than I need anything else is I just need another chance. How about you? God is a God of the second chance. God is a God who forgives. God is a God who restores. The Apostle Peter, Jesus said, "You're going to deny me 3 times. Peter had a fit. "Oh, not me, Lord. You got me confused with one of them other rats you running with. Not me. Lord, I'll die for you." Jesus said, "You're going to deny me 3 times. Before that rooster crows." The night they arrested Jesus, when the rubber meet the road, one of them girls is standing out there. "Oh, I know you." He said, "You don't know me, because I ain't never seen you." She said, "No, you were with him. I don't even know who he is." "No, it's you." And then what did he start doing? Don't you start cussing, but he started cussing. Right? He started cussing. "Why you blanking and blank, and just on and on. I don't know him. I don't know him." And then the rooster crowed. And Peter did 2 things. He wept bitterly. And he repented. 6 weeks later, that same Peter is standing in the city of Jerusalem, and the whole
Jewish world has assembled there for Pentecost, and Peter stands there before that Jewish world, and he sticks his little bony finger out there and tells them, God has made this Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. The crucified Jesus is the resurrected Christ. Listen. God is a God of the second chances. God will forgive you. God will restore you. So, but I messed up. Listen, God can restore you and you make a difference. Rahab was a harlot, but she made a difference to the spies, didn't she? Mary Magdalene was possessed by devils, but she made a difference, didn't she? Listen to me. You fall down, get up. Get up. The devil's going to want you to get up. Just keep going at it. Just keep coming at it. I'm going to do this. Listen, do you know the difference between a big shot and a little shot? A big shot is nothing in the world but a little shot that just kept shooting. Yes or no? This and we close. I know closing always breaks your heart, but this and we close. The Lord wants to make a difference in your life. You need to understand that. The Lord wants to forgive your sins. But in order to do that, you have to surrender to Him. So I don't know what that means. Yes, you do. You give you up to Him. Believe the gospel. Change the way you live. That's called repentance. Confess openly with your mouth what your heart believes. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Listen, the Lord wants to make a difference by forgiving your sins. But the Lord wants to make a difference by restoring you. I'm a Christian, but I haven't lived like I ought to live. I haven't done what I ought to do. Then you need to come on. Don't make it more complicated than it is. What should I do? You should do what the prodigal did. Come home. The Lord wants to make a difference and forgive your sins. The Lord wants to make a difference and restore you. And the Lord wants to make a difference and allow you to then make a difference in the lives of people. You're going to be remembered. We all going to be remembered. When this is over, we're going to be remembered as either making a difference or failing to make a difference. Those are the people that God used. And if He used them, then bless God, He can use you and He can use me to make a difference. But it starts by getting right with Him. Do what you have to do to get right with Him. Obey the gospel. Be restored. Get yourself together. And God help you to do it right now as together we stand.